This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
Then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them's a thick-ass kid.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
Good Friday. What are you guys doing?
I don't know.
How's everybody doing today?
Yeah, you know.
What's the matter with you? You're so frumpy.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
It was a bad sports day yesterday.
Why?
It's bad sports
BYU?
Day.
I thought BYU, you were
BYU, Mets, Red Wings. I didn't get one W.
Yeah, the trifecta.
Not one W. The Red Wings aren't making the playoffs for the 10th straight year. The Mets are going 0-162. BYU is no longer the exciting whites. What the hell? I need a win. I need a sports win.
Well, what do we got today?
I don't know.
Timbers playing or anything?
Timbers play on Sunday. Maybe I get a big Timbers win.
Aren't you a Timbers bro?
I am a Timbers bro. Let's do this. I'm part of the Timbers army.
They any good this year?
I mean, not really, but, you know.
So, no?
I don't think they're supposed to be great, no.
Isn't it crazy that sports can affect your mood?
I try not.
If you think about that.
It is the dumbest thing that we as males do, and trust me, males do a lot of dumb things, but yes, the idea that a team across the country made up of random people wearing a piece of clothing and what they do on a silly field, or in this case, ice rink or court, that somehow that does affect your mood, it is absolutely ridiculous.
It's absurd, particularly when you think of the college kids.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like that Igor guy, your buddy from BYU, he's like 15.
He's terrible.
He's 15
he's
years
terrible.
Old.
He's terrible.
He's
get
what?
Him out of there.
But like,
he's
like, seriously,
a bum.
Why would we let a 15-year-old kid, okay, whatever, 18, 17, 18, why would you let that affect your mood yet? Here we are. Here we are. I mean, Memphis Grizzly fans today.
Yes.
Are mad.
You're a Grizzlies fan? Are you mad? Are you excited?
Maybe they're excited. I don't know. But, you know.
I'm not tapped into the Taylor Jenkins, you know, fan base. Coach Prime got a bunch of money.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll get to all the cool sports stuff.
If you're a Prime guy, you know. My Mariners, I guess that was exciting.
Quick primetime follow-up.
Like primetime as in Coach Prime or primetime as this show?
No, this show, man.
Oh,
we're
you?
The most important.
Well, you primetimed it. We were just talking about Coach Prime.
So the follow-up is that last night I was praying to God that Ichiro wouldn't be in full Mariners uniform when he threw out the first pitch.
I told you.
And he was in full Mariners uniform when he threw out the first pitch.
I believe that I was very adamant that, A, full uniform, and he was going to bring the cheese. I said 80. He brought 84 mile an hour heat.
Was that what it was?
84.
He threw a high fastball.
High fastball, out of the zone, but hey, you know, maybe someone's chasing that.
He popped the glove.
But he brought the heat. 84? I'm not throwing 84. I think I'd throw like 54.
I was really hoping that he wouldn't be in full uniform.
Yeah. You knew he would be. And I think that's what it was, is I think you were in denial that he would be in full uniform.
I just wanted to believe.
No.
I just...
He will be buried in that uniform. And if you're the Mariners...
It's so sad.
Well, they're celebrating him all year. Did you see they're doing a year of Ichiro?
Is this the year of Ichiro?
Yes.
Year of 51?
Yeah, he's going in Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So they said that... I was watching at my buddy's house last night. We convened for opening day. And... So they said they were celebrating the year of Ichiro, and which means he's going to be around a bunch, and which is cool because Ichiro's greatness, right?
He is greatness.
At the same time, take this with all due respect to Ichiro and Ichiro fans, and
bracing. Are you bracing, Will?
Already offended.
If you are the Mariners, is Ichiro a little bit, just a little bit?
Oh no.
Of like an ex-wife that you can't quite get rid of. Like,
I don't think you want to get rid of him.
Well, that's the thing, is like you've got kids together, right? You have a cordial relationship, but she still seems to think you're married. I guarantee that he makes people in that organization, while happy to have him around, they make people uncomfortable. Because God forbid you ever told him that he couldn't do something. Or that, hey, man, we can't have you in the dugout. We can't have you wearing the uniform. I think it's like an ex that you're afraid that you could push them too far and they may do something drastic. He's got a little stalker Mariner thing about him. I think Ichiro is doing some light Mariner stalking. And he's good enough, and he's like... He's kind of hot. Maybe occasionally, like, they sleep together. It's like the whole ex thing. So you kind of keep him around, and it's not that bad. But it is going to continue to get weird because he can't move on to anything else. And secretly, you're hoping that that ex ends up finding someone new to kind of foist them onto it, except it's not happening. Ichiro isn't going back to New York. He's not going to the Marlins. No. He is firmly planted. He's living in your ADU right now. And now you just kind of have to accept it because you don't have the guts to tell him that maybe it's time to move on with your life.
Is he living in Seattle?
I think he might live at the ballpark. I think he might have a red, like, you know, Phantom of the Opera, where he lives down in the tunnels. I think Ichiro has dug some sort of weird cave at the, like, there's a moat underneath T-Mobile and Ichiro lives there. And he just appears every now and then in full uniform.
All right, I prefer to look at this the positive way.
Yeah.
And that is that if you want any player to wear out his welcome.
Yeah.
I think he's like number one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it could be way worse. Like, that's a guy you, even though it might be getting a little weird, and I do think the Mariners are inviting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're playing their part too.
Yeah.
I just don't think you mind him. You just kind of let him do it. You tussle his hair and you let him do his thing.
Yeah.
Whereas other people, I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to talk myself into this being an okay thing.
I think you are.
But it's just, it is getting odd. It's odd.
It's odd.
It is so odd.
He's like 52 or something.
He was like on the bench in full uniform.
Yes.
He's not even.
No.
He's not a coach.
Nothing.
Right?
You're also talking about the same guy who had the same meal before every game. Every single game he played.
He's
a weird dude.
He's very neurotic.
They had to tell him that he's not allowed to wear the uniform on the bench. Remember a number of years ago?
So is this an illness? Is he sick?
Yeah, I think it's like an OCD sort of thing. Yeah. Remember, he was like a special assistant to something or other, and he would try to be in uniform on the bench, and they had to tell him, like, dude, Major League Baseball won't allow this. And then he would go through his pregame routine, including hitting in the underground, like, batting cages. And they were like, hey, man, that's great, but we can't have you out on the field. So that's, I just think no one wants to No one wants to tell him that it's getting weird. And this year will only reinforce it because it's the year of Ichiro. But after this year, I think he's just going to keep showing up for like opening day first pitch. And they're like, well, Ichiro, it's not you this year. And then he just shows up. Wait till next year when they try to have Edgar or someone throw out the first pitch. And Ichiro just walks up on stage like Zoolander style to accept the award, to accept the ball. And they're like, no, Ichiro, it's someone else. And they're like, well, I guess we have two people throwing out the first pitch now. It's not going to end.
Well, if that happened, don't you just let him do it? I mean, you just let him do it.
I think so. It's.
So what's weird about it to me is that when he played, he was so guarded and private,
yeah,
and aloof,
mm-hmm,
that this is like the opposite of that.
Yes.
And I don't understand that. Like that makes no sense. Like he seemed like the guy that would play it out, mm-hmm, and you would never see, he would become a ghost.
Wrong.
Like Johnny Carson.
Tim Duncan, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. What is Tim Duncan doing?
No. I think he's actually coaching now. I think he's come back. But yeah. Like he went away. Barry Sanders went away.
Yeah.
Like you thought Ichiro would retire and just vanish into the, just gone. The ether. Wrong.
Not even like it's the opposite.
There was that article a couple years ago in ESPN where, and it was the saddest thing. He rents out stadiums in Japan and then hires local people to come play games with him. So and he's playing like major league style competitive baseball, but with randos that he just hires to come play.
Well, I'm not gonna lie, I'd sign up for that.
Well, everyone would. But isn't it weird? That man is one of the.
He wants to play baseball. He loves the game.
That man is one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And next thing you know, he's paying you, Isaac Rop, to go out and throw him some cheddar.
Yeah, I'm in on that.
You don't think that's a little weird?
I'm just saying, from my perspective,
it's great.
It's great.
All right, that would be like if I'm trying to think. I don't know. I'm trying to if who's like a great old-time pass rusher. Now, if Bruce Smith came down to the fan and was like, hey, Sook and Will, I got a deal for you. I'm going to pay you guys each $50, and I'm going to get you some full pads. We're going to head out to Jesuit. How about the three of us just do some pass rush? Just some one-on-ones in the afternoon. What do you guys say? No. I'd be like, Bruce, you're one of the greats. Like,
he's paying you.
He's paying me.
You're going.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm going.
Will's going.
I'll get my ass kicked by Bruce Smith.
What?
I'm in.
If he's going to pay me?
Yeah, that's easy money.
That's a great story.
Let's go. Maybe we could have Ichiro on the side.
There's no part of you that would be like,
throwing a bullpen.
This is sad.
Well, sure, but I'd still take the check.
And then it's like Bruce, it's like his heroine. He's like, hey, guys, how about we do this every Tuesday? You're like, Bruce, you're in the Hall of Fame. What are we?
The sack man.
What are we doing? Like, next you know, then he's calling John Randall and he's out there. And then, God forbid, Aaron Donald shows up one day and he's like, I'm retired. And you're like, well, I'm going to die. It's weird. And I love Ichiro. Like, I love Ichiro as one of my favorite players, but I'm concerned for him.
I think
I'm
he concerned. Needs, he needs a therapist.
Yes.
And I hope he has one and I hope he's working through it. But it is a lot. It really is.
Yeah, so I said it's the opposite of fantasy baseball. I have a buddy of mine who's a great guy. He goes every year to Mets fantasy camp. And it's like his highlight. One of these days, I'm going to go with him because I think it'd be hilarious to put on the uniform out there and watch me blow out a knee diving for, you know, a ball with Keith Hernandez. But like it's the oppo of fantasy camp. Ichiro, it should be bums paying Mackie Sasser $10,000 to go be on the field with them, not Ichiro paying people to come play with Ichiro.
Well, I'm guessing Ichiro is a part of the Mariners fantasy camp. Right?
I would assume.
They probably can't keep him out.
I would assume.
Because those fantasy camps are cool. I've known a lot of people that do them. My brother did the one with the Padres.
Yeah.
And he sent me pictures of Trevor Hoffman, you know, hanging out with Trevor Hoffman. They're in the clubhouse, like drinking beer.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cool deal.
Well, my buddy goes out there and he's got a couple of the old school dudes because he's been going for years. Like he parties with those guys and the stories are amazing. But the problem is, like if you're out there with Mackie Sasser, Mackie Sasser is not trying to throw anyone out to prove a point. I think Ichiro is. I think Ichiro is trying to gun you down at third and then probably taunts you. Like it's problematic.
You need to stop pooping on Ichiro.
Okay? I'm not.
Listen, we
I'm
all
not.
Get. Yes,
I love
you
Ichiro.
Are. You are.
I love.
We
him.
All get it. It is a little odd, but let's just embrace it because there are worse guys that could be loitering.
Yes.
You know, there are way worse. Yeah. This it's cool to have.
Like
Ichiro.
If Sean Figgins were doing this, then we'd be like, all
come
right,
on,
time
you got to arrest him.
But I love Ichiro.
But Ichi, he should be able to do whatever he wants. He really should.
He's earned the hall pass forever.
Yeah. I love the guy.
He is greatness. And I'm glad that Mariner, because there was a while there where some Mariner fans kind of poo-pooed Ichiro at the tail end that thought he was a very selfish player.
Well, I think your
player.
Brother didn't like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he was kind of an anti-Ichiro guy. And I'm glad that Ichiro has come full circle and Mariner fan appreciates that you had one of the all-time greats. Yeah. And had he come over at the beginning, he would be the hit king.
Such a unique player.
He would have toppled Pete Rose.
When you think about him.
Yeah, and they always say the same thing. If he wanted to, he could have been any type of player. If he wanted to hit for power, he 100% could have. He chose to be that style of player. He's one of one.
He really is one of one. God
and probably him. Loves the game more so than just about anyone that's ever played.
It was
and
a nice first pitch.
And that's cool.
It was a nice.
84, a little high, but.
Nice first pitch.
Full windup, by the way.
Yeah.
High leg kick.
He even called the pitch. Did you see? He called
the fastball.
Oh,
yeah, he called it, yeah.
Yeah.
You think he's going to break off a curve? Oh, no.
Well, if he is, you got to tell Dan Wilson.
Dan Wilson.
He's out there. No cup.
No, it's out there with his glove. I secretly think Dan Wilson was like, oh my God, don't. Just,
yeah.
Come on, Ichi. Let's.
Well, that's probably why Ichiro threw it high.
Yeah. He's
like, he knows. It's respect.
I don't need to take one of these off the shin. Right.
We don't need another Mitch Haniger.
No.
We just got rid of one.
I wonder if we ever interview Dan Wilson, I'm asking, hey, did you cup up for that? There's part of you that had to be a little concerned. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Wilson slipped one in. He's like, I got it.
Just to be careful.
Just to be careful.
All right, guys. Well, big Friday show. We know Joe Harrington. He sent me a picture of him overseas.
Yeah.
In Europe.
Yeah.
I don't even know where he is.
I think he's in Amsterdam.
Oh, is that? Yeah, it kind of looked Amsterdam-y.
Yeah, I think he's Amsterdam.
So he's not going to come on our show today.
No.
And Jordan Schultz was supposed to be here, but he's had an emergency. He's out. And look at our all-star, Will Ortner.
He never. He
again.
Just, the man's
the guy does every show. I'm the fan.
You're just a blue-collar worker living in a white-collar world.
You are.
He's just grinding. Klondike Will Ortner.
We were talking about awards yesterday.
Yeah.
That guy right there deserves an award for this week.
Best I am getting an award right now. It's OT pay.
Yeah. The best ability? Availability.
The best ability is indeed availability. Thank
can't
you.
Make the club
thank you
in the tub.
Well, thanks for filling in, Will. Chelsea's probably just hung over from Mariners game.
It's possible. That was an exciting game.
That was a great game.
Mariner fan went from, oh my God, because I saw my buddy go through the emotions. Oh my God, we're terrible again to now World Series champs.
Can't hit.
Yeah.
This lineup sucks. Jorge Polanco sucks. And then he belts one.
Hey!
You're like, they're pretty good. Yeah, it's going to be a good year, maybe.
I had to calm him down and tell him that, because he's like, the A's? And I'm like, no, this guy's actually a good pitcher. So it's all right.
Who?
Sevy.
Severino.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the A's kind of got better.
Yes.
The guy pitching tonight's pretty good.
There are some people that think that the A's can be competitive in that division.
It's not us.
No.
But some people.
Yeah. Some people. I've seen some experts that think that they're a sleeper wildcard team.
All right. Let's get started. Just how much time are we wasting with replay reviews? Ugh. That's next on The Fan. All right. Well, we've got no day baseball today, by the way. The day after opening day, we're now into
regular.
We're into the rut of like,
yeah, we got the. Well, that's not true. The Rockies and Rays are in the top of the.
Oh,
right now.
There's a game.
There's a game.
Sorry,
but I think
Rockies and Rays counts.
Rockies and Rays counts. I think that might have been postponed. Did that? I don't
from
know.
From yesterday?
I think that may have been postponed from yesterday.
Oh.
But that's the
Who's
only
winning?
Game. That is 2-2, top of nine.
Big game. Is that the one in, they're playing at the Yankees AAA, or the Yankees spring training park?
The Rays are playing all year, yeah. So they would.
Is that where that game is?
Yeah, that's the, that's at the Rays home stadium now, which is, it used to be Legends Field when I lived in Tampa. Now I think it's George Steinbrenner Field. I think they changed it to Big Stein. But yeah, they're going to play there. seemingly for a while. Because remember, the chop, it needs to be fixed, and then the Rays turned down the new ballpark.
Well, yeah, we talked about that while you were gone. I was just asking if this game today is at that park or if it's in Denver.
No, it is in.
It's at that park.
It is at that park.
Yeah, we talked about that while you were gone. That Tampa, the owner says that because the Trop got ravaged by the hurricane, mm-hmm. it delayed the vote on the funding for the new stadium.
Yeah,
and that pushed it back by a year.
And so he just said
and so
no.
he said the cost overruns. He backed out because of the cost overrun. So they're really in a pickle now. They don't have anything.
So
I don't know what's going to happen.
Are they still fixing the Trop, though?
They are going to fix the Trop, but the old or the new park that they agreed to was going to be on the side of the Trop.
Yeah. So
they don't, I mean.
Is he going to use this as another excuse to try to move him?
Well, they're saying they're kind of, I think they're going to try to force him to sell it.
Ah.
Because they've pissed him off now, or they've pissed off
baseball.
Manfred, I think, even came out and urged him to sell. So they might force him out.
Because I do know that they said they're not going to deal with expansion until the A's and the Rays are settled. And the A's seemingly are settled, even though they're in Sacramento. Supposedly
they're going to Vegas.
And so we thought, hey, maybe in a year we could get an announcement on expansion. But now we got the stupid Rays thing.
I brought up the idea, and this wouldn't happen because you've got Nashville, you've got Montreal, but what if Salt Lake came in and bought the Rays?
Then you'd be almost guaranteed to get a team in Portland.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So what if Salt Lake came in and bought the Rays, and then Portland's the last team for expansion out west?
Dude, that would be, yeah.
I mean, you probably want that.
Absolutely.
Because the only wrench there is Montreal, because Montreal has a guy who's always been sniffing around the Rays.
Yes, and supposedly
they want to bring baseball back.
They want to bring baseball back. Nashville is all but guaranteed a team when they expand.
Yeah, but if one of those three,
that's what I wonder though, because
they
said originally the reason why that we were even consideration is they wanted one West Coast or West Coast adjacent to balance out the Nashville. Problem is, I wonder if we got the Rays out here, does that, because it's a time slot thing, does that kind of take up that zone, and then does that free up baseball to be in Montreal and Nashville and then not have to worry about out west?
Possibly.
So
I know a lot of people have brought that up, but I mean, I don't know that that's as critical. I mean, you would have to look at how to restructure.
Yeah. I just know that supposedly that was the thing is they want another West Coast time slot, and Salt Lake doesn't deliver that, but it comes close enough to where you could get more of those.
Well, it seemed to me that
late game starts.
If you've got the Rays, and then you've got two expansion teams.
Yeah.
Let's say the Rays get sold and move, and then you've got two expansion teams. You've got three new markets.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they would. If two of those markets were west and one, I guess, mountain.
Yeah.
One west, one mountain.
Yeah.
Pacific and mountain, and then one was east.
Yeah.
I don't think that's any different than one mountain and two east.
Yeah.
Or one west and two east. You know what I'm saying?
If you could find a way to get Salt Lake off the table and they still wanted a western expansion, it would basically guarantee you, because there's not another viable option out here. It's us and Salt Lake.
But I'm just saying, if Salt Lake got the Rays, it's still west and east for expansion.
I would hope so. But I don't know. I don't know if that balance shifting the Rays out here, I don't know if that tweaks it.
If Nashville got the Rays, could you do Mountain Pacific for expansion?
Yeah.
Or would you have to have something? I don't know, bro.
Yeah.
But that's the latest on that for whatever reason. Why are we talking about that? Oh, we've got the Rockies and the Rays today.
Live from Tampa.
Hot.
So, you have the Tampa Rays playing in a minor league stadium, but at least in their own city. Actually, it's a different city because they're not actually in Tampa. They're in St. Pete. But, and then you got the A's. Here's another question. Are the A's the Oakland A's, or are they the Sacramento A's, or are they the Las Vegas A's?
You're now doing the show that we did while you were gone.
Damn it!
They don't want to be called anything. They don't want Oakland, they don't want Sacramento, and they don't want Vegas.
They're just A's?
They want to be called the Athletics.
Oh. I don't like that.
All right. So, that's what they said.
We were having a debate last night watching it, so, all right. Yeah.
Poll Rick question. Riz had a point where poll he called question. Them the Oakland A's, and then you could tell his producer's talking in his ear not to do it, and he goes, whatever, fine me.
Nice. Look at Riz.
Salty Rick Riz.
Gets hit in the head by a foul ball, and all of a sudden he's just, he's like.
Well, he's getting old. Bringing a foul. He was on with Dirt and Sprague, and Rick Riz says he has not heard that call yet.
Oh, really? Why didn't they play it for him?
I think he was a little weird about it. I think they could tell.
No way.
Which, by the way, you still should have played it. He said he's heard from people that it's like kind of become a viral thing, but Rick said that he had not heard it. And by the way, I didn't believe him. Bring it a foul. There's no way that someone hasn't played that for Rick Riz. And this is why Rick Riz doesn't come on this program, because we instantly would have played it 9 times. Bring it a foul. Like, hey, Rick, can you walk us through step by step?
Walk us through this. What is this? Rick, can you repeat?
This is why Rick Riz does not come on this program.
Well, he wouldn't know. We could sabotage him, but yeah, we don't want to do that.
As someone says, I like this. I'm calling them the non-binary A's.
Yeah, right.
No, I like that.
Yeah, them, they.
Them, they. Them, they, A's. The non-binary, them, they,
them, A's. Let's call them them, A's.
I like it. Them, A's. No.
Well, now we've blown through a segment.
Hell's sakes. Good thing we have 19 more.
Well, that's not true. How many do we have? We have 14 more.
14 more.
So we're running out.
Whatever will we do? We have so much to get to.
It makes me sad.
Oh, we do. I want to tell you about the Wall Street Journal has put the stopwatch to all of the replay reviews in the tournament.
Oh, it's brutal.
And they have an actual amount of time that we have lost sitting there waiting for the officials
to
review.
I want a new lawsuit. Everyone's suing the NCAA. I want to go Mr. Hand Fast Times. I want to sue the NCAA for all that time. And like, they have to square that deal with me because it's unwatchable at times.
So we'll get to that next, but first, Will with SportsCenter. Well, it's over, guys.
We think.
We do think.
We think.
What do we know?
No, we know. The Rays have walked off the Rockies in the first major league game at George Steinbrenner Stadium. Mm.
It is officially George Steinbrenner Stadium.
I don't know. I was just going off what you said. And I don't even know if it's the first major league game there. Maybe they've played another major league game there. I don't know. Here's what I do know. The Rays are 1-0.
Okay. Our Rays.
Yeah, our Rays. Future Portland Ray Cameron Meisner walks it off with a home run in the bottom of the ninth.
It is a nice it's a nice stadium down there. Used to watch spring training games there, and it's a nice field.
So Wall Street Journal did a little bit where after the Arizona-Oregon game, they were complaining about the same thing we were.
Yeah.
And they wrote an article called The March Madness Phenomenon That Instantly Drives Fans Crazy, and it is all the stupid reviews at the end of games.
Yeah.
It's just absurd.
I believe the Oregon game, there were 5 possessions in a row that had to be reviewed. And that doesn't even include the timeouts and the fouls. You know, I was watching that game, obviously having a vested interest in the show in Oregon. I considered turning the damn thing off and being like, you know what? I'll go watch highlights. It was that bad.
Yeah, they said that game, we lost 25 minutes to just watching them watch for review, or like watch the monitor on review.
25 minutes.
25 full U.S. Meridian minutes.
And that was in the last 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
What are we on, Greenwich Mean Time?
I don't know. Sounded good.
All right, I like it.
So they said in total, there have been at least 52 reviews so far, and together they've lasted a grand total of 111 minutes and 23 seconds.
That's brutal.
Considering that a college basketball game is only 40 minutes of action, that's nearly 3 full games worth of watching officials huddle, stare at a monitor, and eventually announce their decision.
Yeah, there has to be a better way to do this.
The calls in question have included goaltendings, hits to the groin, and one instance where the refs checked for a flagrant foul only to realize the player had been smacked in the face by his own teammate. Rules analyst Gene Steratore got called on to offer his insight so often that he could be forgiven for once referring to the round orange thing bouncing up and down as a football.
Someone is saying that is a combined 73 timeouts.
that's combined with 73 timeouts. Yeah. I think he's saying that there are a bunch of timeouts. Oh. And he's right.
Yeah.
It's not only the reviews.
It's all the timeouts.
It's all the stupid timeouts.
I thought he was saying that was like if you put all the timeouts together. But yeah, it's
well, and
it's,
the other annoying thing is when they review something, it takes them double time because they're also reviewing,
clock. Well,
how much time do we have to put back on the clock?
Yep.
Like, did you see that last night? Did you end up watching the end of the Texas Tech game?
Yes, because we were flipping back and forth between some of the NCAA games and the Mariner game.
So, Arkansas guy misses a free throw. I don't remember the exact scenario, but the Arkansas guy missed a free throw with like 28.1 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
And the clock didn't start. Did you see any of this?
No, I did not see this.
Okay, so the clock didn't start. So they get it up towards half court. They realize the clock doesn't start. They call a timeout to review and get the clock right.
Sure.
So now you got to go check, okay, so how much time do we have to put back on the clock? Well, it started at 28.1. So that seems pretty simple, right?
Sure.
Well, they reviewed it for 5 effing minutes, and then they came back with 24.7.
Why?
I don't know. And they never explained it.
Of course not. It's just, it really is a problem. And I am usually of the ilk of get it right. Right? Like, I would say this about football. People are like, oh, I want to go back to the days with no reviews. And I'm like, you can't do that. You can't have playoffs and Super Bowls decided on something that clearly everyone in the world can see in HD is wrong. And then the call on the field, you can't have it. But with basketball, there's already this idea that you don't need to start watching until the fourth quarter, or you don't need to start watching until 5 minutes left. It's the most important part of the game of any game. And I do think it is a major problem that basketball has in general viewership is the part of the game that you're supposed to be like, oh my God, this is the best part, for a lot of people, myself included, is unwatchable. You can't have the most important part of your game be the worst part of your game, and that's what you currently have in basketball. And I try not to complain about it too much because I don't have a good solution for it. I don't know what the solution is, but this is a major problem for the sport.
And I think they know that. So they're already, so in the NIT this year, because I know you've been watching a lot of NIT action.
I love the NIT. Between that and the women's tournament, I mean, I'm swamped with things to watch.
The NIT this year, there's a new rule, and they're testing this, mm-hmm. and it allows coaches to challenge out-of-bounds calls in the final 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So the official does not have the ability to review it on their own.
Good.
The coach has to challenge it.
And have we seen some progress with that?
It doesn't say.
Yeah, because it's the NIT, no one's watching. No one would know. If a tree falls in the NIT and no one's around, did the tree fall? It's a good question. But yeah, I would like that. And if you don't have timeouts, then you don't get to challenge it. Right? Like,
that seems pretty simple. I mean, why not? Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, and then the problem that we have, I guess, with that is that then you run into this with the NFL, which is why in the last 2 minutes, everything isn't challengeable. It just goes right to the booth review. I just don't understand why, in this day and age where we have instant cameras, why can't you just have someone, like they have in football, the speed review? Because I get it. If it's a bang-bang play and it really needs to be dug through, I understand. But some of these don't seem that hard. And I just wish maybe there was someone up there that's literally sitting with the TV people, right? And he has access immediately to every view that the TV has. Because that's what I hear all the time from people. It says, hey, if you're actually down there, it takes a long time to figure out what view, and it's on this little monitor. Meanwhile, some of us that are just at home on the couch, 9 beers deep, we can see the perfect view within 30 seconds of, oh no, this is the way it is. I wish there was just a way that we could have that command center where you had someone there that says, no, I saw this. This is a quick review. We're going with this, you know, ball this way. And that's the one that to me feels like that's the easiest way to get some of this corrected. And then, yes, if you have one or two a game that are really need to be dug through that are bang, bang plays, sure. But some of these don't seem that hard and shouldn't be taking 5 minutes.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I would also add that I think a review to find out if you need to put 0.3 seconds back, forget it.
Exactly.
It's just, and I don't know, it's not football.
Yeah.
It's just football. I get pretty much reviewing everything.
Mm.
Basketball, I think it's different.
It's hard.
You don't need to review every little thing.
I tend to agree.
Well, I'm glad we solved that. They should come talk to us.
Well, I do think if basketball was smart, they would address this sooner than later.
Well, they already are. I mean, like I said, they're testing that in the NIT. They know. I mean, they know it's a problem.
Yes.
And
it may not be an easy solution, but you better come up with one.
Well, here's what's going to happen. We're only just now getting into the meat and potatoes of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
This weekend and next weekend, if you get a big marquee game, say Duke's playing, mm-hmm. and you get an Oregon-Arizona situation, people are going to lose their crap.
Yes.
It's going to go so viral, it's going to force them to.
And maybe that's what we need. You know, maybe you do need a real outrage in a big moment to get someone to stand up and be like, we're not doing this crap anymore.
In one other Texas Tech note, I just have to corkscrew this in here.
Mm-hmm.
You said you were flipping back and forth. Did you happen to catch Harlan? Well, first of all, he was great.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Harlan was on that call, right?
He's a national treasure.
Was he on that call?
Yeah, it was Kevin Harlan. He was awesome.
He was really good.
He was so awesome.
He was so fired up for that. Because it really was a great comeback. They said it was the second biggest comeback in Sweet 16 history.
So it's funny in that it was 16 at one point when we stopped really paying attention to the Texas Tech game. And then, like, we had the little score bug, and then I was kind of checking it out on my phone, and I was like, oh my God. But it was, I want to say it was 13, it was a 13-point lead with, like, 3 and some change to go. We didn't even flip over until it was, like, it got down to, like, 5. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, flip over to this. How do you blow that lead?
Williams came alive and Frederico got like every offensive rebound possible. I mean, that one possession, he had 4 by himself because they couldn't hit a 3-pointer.
Well, I'd like to state for the record that Arkansas, and they even said it on the broadcast, they were really good in the first half shooting. They can't shoot.
Yeah.
So I don't know who the color guy was, but he kept talking about this. He's like, Arkansas is not going to keep shooting like this. And they didn't. Yeah. They just, how you lose that lead, they just were hot for the first half and they were not in the second half. And then, like Will said, Williams, they couldn't handle Williams. And that leads us to Federico.
It's a great name. Still God sham.
I'm sorry. That's the best name in college basketball.
It's a great name.
And maybe the best name in college basketball history.
God sham God.
Okay, I'll put it up there. but come on, his name is Federico. That's his name.
It's a great name.
Only learned that last night.
Yes.
That's the beauty of the tournament.
Never heard of him
never
before.
Never would have known that.
No idea.
But we're watching Texas Tech, and then Harlan's like, well, because he kept stumbling over it, and he's like, Federico, it's not Fred, it's Fed.
Fed.
Federico. He lives to see another day.
The only thing I'll say is that Texas Tech does,
like, bowl,
and I mean nothing for me. Arkansas, at least, is a nice story. You got Calipari, you know, the whole, you know, Arkansas's got some history to it, comes over, didn't have a team, puts it together. I was pulling for Arkansas. I was a little bummed that Texas Tech pulled away with that.
Wild too. Texas Tech is that coach for Texas Tech is really good, and
that's the white beater.
What?
Isn't that the alleged white beater? Isn't that Chris Baird? Oh no, he's at Ole Miss.
He's at Ole Miss.
Sorry.
Yeah, Grant McCaslin.
Yeah,
is his name. He's a really good coach, and they are not. They're not jump off the page. They're not like Alabama, okay?
No.
Alabama's fun to watch.
Yes.
Texas Tech, not as much. But Texas Tech does have a good offense. It's just that Arkansas's length gave them so many problems last night. What's wild about the college basketball tournament is you'll hear about a name. Like, for example, JT Toppin. JT Toppin is a lottery pick next year. He plays for Texas Tech. Down the stretch of that game, if you tune in, it's like, okay, I'm going to tune in. I'm going to watch for JT Toppin because he is the best player in that game. He was awful.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't awful. But you look at him and go, that's the best player in the game. Williams ended up being the best player in that game by a mile.
Yeah, was it Darian or whatever?
Yeah. He was awesome. He saved his team and hit the 3 to tie it. But JT Toppin is their star, and you watch, it's just so funny, the tournament, you watch him and you're like, that's JT Toppin?
Yeah, Brandon Miller had that for Alabama. I remember one year Colorado had a guy, was it Williams, that was supposed to be like a guy that the Blazers were on their radar, and it turns out he wasn't even starting for Colorado. He was like coming off the bench. Zach Collins was this way at Gonzaga. Yeah, you hear a guy's a lottery pick. Well, I'll tell you, Igor Demin for BYU. They're 6'9", white guard. He's the Russian kid. going into this year, everyone said that's like a top four pick. And every time I watched him play, I was like, huh? What? But so much of the NBA is you just, it's based on what you could be. It's based on ceiling, not actually what you do.
Well, we're almost to four number one seeds yeah. in the Final Four.
Oh, and by the way, it turns out that whole not tanking for Cooper Flagg, maybe not the best idea because he's really good.
Yeah, he is.
I know we hear all the time about like, oh, it's overhyped. No, it turns out Cooper Flagg is
pretty good.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah, the Alabama-Duke game could be pretty fun.
Absolutely.
That'll be tomorrow, right?
My guess is, though, that Duke plays defense unlike... See, Duke's exciting whites, I think, play defense. Unfortunately for Provo, our exciting whites do not. So I'm guessing Alabama will not shoot like 50% on 53s.
So Alabama, Duke, Texas Tech, Florida. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see what happens tonight.
Tonight's games. We got Ole Miss, Michigan State, I think, is the first one off.
But you could get four number one seeds, or you could get... You still have the possibility of four SEC teams in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Would you want that? Well, you wouldn't because
no,
you bet on Duke.
I got Duke to win the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You need them to win.
I would not. I'll tell you what, though. If you could pencil it through, bets aside, you could pencil it through. Give me Florida and Duke right now. Let's go.
Yeah. I think we all want to see that
Florida
game.
Duke for the whole damn thing. Let's do it.
I mean, those are probably the two best teams. We'll see how Houston responds. Auburn's funny because they're awesome and amazingly talented, but yet like no one believes in him.
Yeah.
It feels like they have all kinds of problems, but yet they just keep winning.
Sure.
So
I don't want to see Michigan State.
Izzo.
Yeah. One
Izzo to the Rizzo.
One, I don't like Izzo. And two, they're like watching paint dry. I don't
They're not that fun, are they?
No, they are not.
They're like Texas Tech.
Yes. And so that's just
Alabama Duke fun.
I would
Kentucky,
like
Kentucky. Tennessee's not that fun, but Kentucky is. Houston's great. Auburn's great. Florida's great. Who am I missing?
Who else is in there?
There's really not that many boring teams left.
No. I just don't. I say what you will. I want to see points. I do not want to see a game played in the 60s. It didn't go well for BYU last night, but that was fun watching.
Yeah.
In the first half when that was close, that was fun watching those two teams just go down and go at each other.
So they shot 51 threes.
51 threes, I believe, yes.
You know how many shots they had in the game total?
60-something.
66.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And the best part is they were hitting 50% of the threes. People were like, well, why would you, if you're hitting 50% of your threes, why would you do anything else?
They said that was the first time since, do you remember the Christian Laettner shot against Kentucky?
I do remember that.
That was the first time two teams scored over 100 points in the same on the same night, yeah. Or maybe it's at the same regional. No, it wouldn't be at the same regional. Or would it? Yeah, I guess it's at the same regional because Alabama and Duke are playing.
Mm-hmm.
Two teams scored over 100 points since that night of Laettner over Kentucky.
Who's the other side?
The other one I think might have been Michigan, but I can't remember.
Okay.
But that's like in the early 90s,
yeah,
93. 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the last time you had two teams in the same regional score 100 points.
Well, and now we get it. Duke Bama tomorrow.
So this is where, as we've been talking about, this is where it's starting to get pretty freaking fun.
Yes.
And fun to watch. Like yeah. It's not as lame as in years past with the play. Yeah. I mean, there's some pretty top-notch.
Exactly.
Basketball.
And even though there's no Cinderella,
Yeah.
This is good love. This is good high-level basketball.
All right, Friday headlines. Deion gets paid and chaunts to the Grizz coming up on The Fan. What a hot March Madness talk right there. Got all tight in my pants.
Sports.
Yeah, we got games coming up here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, I will say that Kentucky, Tennessee does a little something for me.
Does it?
Yeah. I know Kentucky's won both of those. And, you know, Rick Barnes has a history of bowing out. And Kentucky, I don't know.
Sure
I've seen Kentucky play a couple times, and they've got BYU's old coach.
They're fun to watch.
And they're fun to watch. I can get behind Kentucky, you know, kind of being a three seed, little dark seed, or a dark horse. I can get behind that.
Right. That's next hour, I think, too.
Yeah, that's 4:30. Ole Miss, Michigan State.
I know.
These games, that's the
good matchup, but
Kentucky-Tennessee is the game that I think I'm most interested in. And then, I don't know, Purdue-Houston. I don't mind watching Houston play. Just they're so rugged.
Yeah.
It's not the most exciting brand of ball.
I like them too.
But I do kind of like watching them just because they get up in your kitchen and just beat the hell out of you.
That'll be an interesting matchup, those two.
Yeah.
And then Auburn, Michigan. Hey.
Hey, and
we'll keep an eye.
Well, Michigan's the team that everyone wrote off losing to in the first round to San Diego State, even though they just got done winning the Big Ten. Oh, and turns out the Big Ten's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Quick trivia, and then we're going to get to Friday headlines in our next segue, okay?
Trivia away.
I saw this on Get Up this morning.
Oh. Will you watch
it? And no, I don't watch Get Up, but it was on the TV.
Sure.
And they flashed this trivia. Anytime they flash a trivia question on the television or like a video board.
Yeah.
You got me. I'm in. I want to know. So the question was, which coach has won the most tournament games as the betting underdog since 1985?
I'm guessing Tom Izzo.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Tom Izzo, I think we said this while you were gone. Tom Izzo has won the most tournament games as the higher seed.
Okay. But not necessarily the underdog.
But not the betting underdog since 1985.
Okay.
You should be able to get this.
Well, I'm guessing he's still in the tournament.
He is not in the tournament.
Oh, he's not in the tournament.
No.
Really?
Really?
Huh.
Izzo, by the way, number two on this list.
But he was in the... He was in the tournament. He's just been eliminated.
This year?
Yeah.
No.
Who am I?
He's a classic.
Who am I missing?
He's a Hall of Fame coach.
Huh.
And he was always, he always had teams that gave people fits.
Problems, huh?
Boeheim?
Yes, Jim Boeheim.
There you go. Yeah, that makes sense.
Jimmy B.
Well, I mean, he was that year that he made a Final Four when he was like the last team in. I'm guessing Carmelo Anthony's freshman year, they weren't thought to be a championship contender with a freshman leading the team.
Well, I think Melo was a big deal, but maybe. Yeah, that was before freshmen led teams to titles.
Yeah, it was, even now, I mean, it's not always the freshman. I mean,
wasn't he the first?
I think he might have been the first that was like the best player on the team.
And then Davis.
Yeah, Anthony Davis led one.
And now Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often, though. I mean...
No, it doesn't.
When you have a team that is the best player is a freshman, that usually is an indicator that this doesn't go your way. But, I mean, that's what I said. Flagg last night had, what, 30? And I know that Arizona kind of, you know, Caleb Love, who's, you know, the opposite of the freshman, he seems like he's been in college basketball forever. You know, he tried to make that a game, but... Dude, Cooper
35 did he have?
Yeah, I think he had 35.
They just didn't have the defense. No. They couldn't stop him.
No. But, I mean, Flagg, I want to pull it up because he had, like, I know he didn't have a triple-double, but he had.
He was awesome.
He had 9 of 19, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, 9 of 10 at the free throw line, had 6 boards, 7 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks,
yeah,
and only
Flags!
Had 1 turnover. I mean, dude, that's a virtuoso performance. Yeah. And, by the way, I would like to point out that is supposed to be a high school senior. That dude,
how old is he?
I think he's 18.
He just turned 18 in December.
He reclassified. That son of a bitch is supposed to be playing in the main state like tournament right now. Which, by the way, that's very unfair to anyone in the state of
yeah,
Maine.
Yeah, no kidding. They're all like, whew, dodged a bullet.
Well, you ever see like highlights of like Derrick Henry, like in high school? You're like, what? Or I remember in Dominican Sue playing here locally.
He was awesome.
Some high
wasn't
school.
Wasn't he a quarterback?
No.
He wasn't?
No. Namakatsu was a lineman. But the idea that some 230-pound left guard at Jesuit was forced to block in Namakatsu, it's not fair. And there's some poor bastard white guy at Maine that the last couple years had to defend Cooper Flagg, and that's not cool. There should be some sort of mercy rule where you're like, look, I'm not doing this. Hey, reclassified, and he's doing. He's the best player in the country.
You know, does it make you feel old that he was born in 2006? He was born when you and I were already doing this show.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yes.
And he has a haircut like he's 12 years old.
All right.
You got to work on that.
There's more March Madness. God, we
give you all the madness.
We do. We can't quit you.
Yeah.
Madness.
By the way, and I would also like to state this, speaking of madness,
thank you.
And I may be the only one that doesn't care because I've seen everyone talking about it. Who gives two S's that Josh Giddey hit a shot to beat the Lakers?
Oh, my God.
I don't care.
It was all over today.
Yeah. Why?
Well, I think it leads them into the new Colin Cowherd discussion of... what's wrong with the Lakers?
I don't...
They love the national media loves nothing more than the topic of what's wrong with the Lakers.
Yeah. The crappy-ass Bulls hit a miracle shot, and okay, cool. Go away, Josh Giddey. Go sleep with another underage girl.
All right. Up next, Friday headlines, Coach Prime gets paid on The Fan.